So Pastor Stephanie asked, similar to last year, that we both share a little bit of a reflection on this past year. And so I have some 2024 reflections on what God has done in my life and in the life of this church. Whenever someone asks me to reflect on the past year of my life, I find myself scrambling to grasp what has happened over this period of time. I think about the seasons of my life and how seasons don't really fit neatly into 52 weeks or 365 days. When I look back over the past year, that is 2024, I find myself scrolling like I did last year through my digital clutter. I found my phone is a reliable source of data to guide this process. And if you have never done this and you have a smartphone, I invite you this week to scroll through your photo gallery and you will see the scariest collection of memories curated by none other than you without you even knowing. This practice can offer a quick values assessment, an insight into how you have been living your past year. On first glance, similar to last year, I was shocked to find over 20 photos of my license plate. I thought, why on earth am I still doing this? I did it last year, I did it this year, and then I realized it wasn't actually 20 pictures of my license plate, it was parking stall numbers and pillars and general surroundings so that I would find my car again. How old am I? More scrolling through my photos reveals endless memes and quotes and funny little jokes. Jocelyn loves words, and there's a hilarious collection of nonsense that I clearly thought was amusing and/or important. And when I looked through the images on my phone, there were so many celebrations, so many silly videos, and so many flowers. My phone currently stores nearly 14,000 photos and videos. Yes, this is a lot. Don't worry, it's backed up. But I like to have it on my phone. My photo album for just 2024 is full of flowers, trees, leaves of every color and every season, all of God's good creation. The walking path home from the elementary school where I pick up my nephews every week. There's lots of pictures of community meals here at Olivet, the baptisms, and young adult brunch. There are so many videos with my nephews running and shrieking and so many hugs. And so in summary, when I look through my digital clutter, I can see that I value beauty and laughter and finding my car in parking lots and new words and wise quotes. As much as I did capture moments on my phone that are full of joy and beauty, I also captured a lot of grief. You're probably wondering, how do you capture photos of grief? I was quite surprised when I scrolled through this past year of 2024 by how many photos I have in my phone of my mom lying in a gurney in a hospital, or photos of her wristband sitting in an ER so that I could find her. They took her into different spaces. And for those who may not know, I am a full-time caregiver for my mom. We live together, and much of my home life has grown into a much higher level of daily care for her. There are so many pictures of recovery, including bruising from multiple falls, and there are photos and labels of pill bottles and medication lists and nursing instructions. And when I see my life through the digital clutter in real time, I can see the pain and the grief and the goodness of God. 2 weeks ago, I shared with Pastor Stephanie and Scott about my mom's most recent fall at home, and I asked them, sort of speaking this out loud to them and to myself, how many more times can I hold my mom's head in my hands while I call 811? When I look back over this year and I look for where God showed up in real, tangible ways, I see all of you, the people that make this community of faith. I see you through text messages on my phone, through ringing my doorbell at my house and showing up with a meal when things were tough. I see you through asking for prayer, through our welcome cards, and connecting through the losses that we experience and share. As Community Life pastor, I spend a lot of time thinking about and praying about this community of faith and its people. And I've had the privilege of serving in small pockets within our community base, through life groups and serving our young people, and I continue to build relationships with many of you. Spending time with our middle schoolers on Sundays has shown me the gift of talking about our daily walk with God and praying through the hard questions about friendship and faith. Our middle schoolers are amazing people, full of deep questions and a desire to pray for their friends who don't know Jesus. I love spending time with them as we expand in our understanding and grow in faith together on Sundays. I also serve with our young adults as we have brunch together and talk about the ideas that we grapple with that came out of the sermon. And we build a peer community for them of friendship and trust. I walk alongside many of our seniors as well through our life groups and one-on-one. When I reflect on what God has done in my life and in this community of faith in 2024, I see shared experience. I see walking alongside you all in good times and hard times. I see the faithful prayers of the people, the check-ins, and lives deeply rooted in Christ. The experiences we have shared this past year have shaped my life. Community meals, hospitality teams, coffee ministry, Halloween hospitality on the drive, and the Christmas bash, to name a few. I have seen more of you volunteer and offer to come alongside in how you serve one another more in 2024 than in 2023. And I am overwhelmed by your generosity and willingness to serve God and one another out of love for Christ. The grace and care that I have received in this congregation has given me the nourishment and energy to expand what I do, to reach higher and to grow. Community flourishing is a communal task. Being rooted and established in the love of Christ and in the love we share as followers of Christ together has deepened and strengthened our roots. The weather may change and the soil may shift, but our roots have grown deep as we share our lives with one another. Over this past year, God has been at work in some of the darkest moments in my life personally. The rap sheet on 2024 reveals a lot of desperate days and rough moments that I didn't capture on camera, or I did and I didn't share. There's no highlight reel that shows my role as a caregiver for my mom, or the stress of managing daily life at home with someone whose body is betraying her. Caregiving, as many of you know from personal experience, can often feel like becoming a bystander to someone else's slow ebb of life. Sometimes it's hard to see the small wins, but I look for them and I keep them in my mind so that in tough moments I can tell myself the truth, the whole truth, that even when it's dark, there are still glimmers of light. An unexpected patch worn smooth in the deepest valley. At our Blue Christmas service this year, I asked the group that gathered with me if it's possible for us to grow around our grief. I created a visual based on a viral image that has been circulating on social media. This visual is based on therapist Dr. Lois Tonkin's theory on growing around grief. As a therapist, Dr. Tonkin developed her theory on grief after speaking with a woman who lost her child. The woman who lost her child explained that she initially believed that over time, her grief would shrink. Instead, her grief stayed the same size, while her life continued to grow around it. The image that has been circulating on social media connected to this theory of growing around grief is an image of black balls inside glass jars. And the black ball represents our grief. And they remain the same size, but the glass jars continue to grow larger over time. Dr. Lois Tonkin's theory challenges us to think about how grief doesn't shrink or disappear over time. Instead, our lives, which are the glass jar, grows around it. And we create new memories. We meet new people and find moments of joy. Our capacity to live with our grief expands. You see on the table down there on the purple cloth, there are three glass jars. I have one of them. Each jar has a large black ball inside of it, and this black ball represents our grief. This first jar represents our life, and the black ball within it is nearly the same size as the jar. This shows us that the grief ball is all-encompassing. The grief has consumed much of the life, and there isn't much space left for anything else. Our grief is large, upfront, and in need of attention. The second jar you see on the table down there is larger than this one, and the grief ball inside that jar remains the same size, but the jar is larger. This shows a life that has grown around grief. There is now space to fill with other things as we continue living. And the third jar is even larger than the others. That black grief ball remains the same size, but the third jar has expanded so much that the ball actually appears smaller. Life has grown around grief. It comes with us. It is now a part of us, and it is beautiful. I invite you to spend some time looking at these jars, and if you have the opportunity to step up close, you will see the blackness in these balls of grief actually sparkle and glimmer, because there is hope in our darkness because of the light of Jesus Christ. I want to read for us a passage from Ephesians 3, and I'm reading it specifically from the Message translation, as there's one verse that stood out to me this week. Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul is writing to the Ephesian Christians. He's writing a letter to the Ephesians, and he says this: I ask God to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. I love the Message version of this text because the words of encouragement for the Ephesians and for us are a challenge to reconsider what strength and resilience look like when we walk with Jesus. We read Paul's words in verse 14 that we are not to have a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. What an incredible word to challenge and encourage us at the end of 2024. When so many of us believe we need to grow through grind and grit, it is not brute strength that will save us. It is not building our own resilience or capacity. It is through vulnerability and openness to the glorious inner strength made available to us in Jesus that has the power to transform us. Jesus Christ came for us in human form, in the body of a helpless baby boy, to show us that strength and power really looks like in the kingdom of God. When we open the door to this little one at Christmas, we open the door through eyes of faith to the one who can save us, the one who knows and loves us, and who is God with us. I echo Paul's prayer for his friends in his letter to the Ephesians as we prepare ourselves to enter into 2025. No matter what your digital clutter on your phone may be, or your reading list, or your Spotify playlist, whatever it may reveal about you, no matter what mountains or valleys you have gone through or are still going through, I hope you know and experience the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work within you. On the mountain peaks and in the valleys, I hope and pray we learn to live full lives, full in the fullness of God, leaning hard on the promises of God and the glorious inner strength made possible in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope and pray we plumb the depths of our lived experience and rise to the heights of God's love for us. Amen.
Hello. For those of you who don't know who I am Stephanie, and I am the lead pastor here at Olivet. I don't know about you, but the time between Christmas and New Year's is a bit of a haze. I'm not sure what day of the week it is. I did figure out today is Sunday, so I'm here. But other than that, I had no clue. Regular meal times have dissolved into who's hungry at what time and who's heating up what, and then we just eat when you're hungry. And we have played games, and we've accomplished puzzles, and we've just enjoyed our new gifts. It's been this wonderful, restful, hazy time. And yet, together, as we gather for worship today and reflect on what God is doing, I want us to try to clear the haze a little bit and look back at the year, as Pastor Jocelyn has already started us doing. As New Year's Eve approaches, I know a very regular topic of conversation for the new year is going to be, what resolution are you having for 2025? Some people love New Year's resolutions. Some people hate them, Most are abandoned by February. And last year I shared that instead of resolutions, I personally like to set some goals for the year. So I don't call them resolutions, so I don't abandon them by February. But I try to keep them going for the whole year. And they are the things that I want to work on for the year. So for example, last year I always set a reading goal of some kind. So for 2024, I set the goal to read 80 books in 2024. And I did it. I accomplished that. Yeah, that's a lot. So I'm very excited about that. Not as much as the year previous, but I can only do so much. Okay. Other goals I have will be for, you know, personal development, some things that I set for myself professionally. I have relationship goals, I have generosity goals, just different things. And every year, I also prayerfully set a word for the year, and it becomes this guiding idea that sets my intentions and directions for the year. So this is a practice I have kept with the Lord for a number of years, and I still like to do it. So for 2024, my word was self-compassion, and I struggle to do that. I'm very hard on myself with a lot of things, just ask my husband. But that was my goal for the word for the year. So it kind of set even my reading goals, because I really enjoy reading. And that means I have to take time to do that and not just work and not just clean a bathroom, but enjoy things. So self-compassion was my word for 2024. On the last Sunday of the year in 2023, we also reflected on the year that was, and I shared a word for us for 2024 as well, and a challenge for us to consider as we go through the year 2024. So the word I suggested was onward. So onward means in a continuing forward direction. At the end of 2023, we were seeing some really positive fruit happening in the life of our church. As together, we were pursuing God's love and intentionally seeking to love others. So I suggested that let's just keep doing that in that onward direction. We looked at Mary's words in the Christmas story. When the angel of the Lord comes to her and he shares this message, this commission that she is going to do, she has been chosen to carry the Savior of the world. And to that huge task, Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant." So I suggested that that would be a really good posture for all of us to carry onward into 2024. Suggesting that together throughout this year, we will say, we are servants of the Lord, while keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ and resting in God's love together. And as I reflect back on 24, I would say that that is exactly what we've done. We looked at the beginning of the year at the practices and teachings of Jesus Christ through the Gospel of Luke, as Jesus showed us a kingdom that is truly not that complicated, but is very radical in its simplicity. And we talked about the simple kingdom of God. So this is a kingdom where the valleys are raised and mountains are lowered, and we were called to be like Christ in the world. And sometimes that was as simple as sharing a meal with another person. After finishing that series, we went through Lent with the Psalms of Lament in preparation for Christ's death and resurrection that we looked at on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and we opened ourselves up to the wide spectrum of feelings that are written about in Scripture. Also throughout Lent, our life groups did a study that was provided by International Justice Mission, and it focused on justice issues internationally, and we sought to intentionally partner with one of our partners in mission and not just keep our heads in the sand. It was a tough study. I know the Wednesday night group, we struggled through it sometimes because to think about such huge injustices was very difficult. After Easter, our sermon series focused on the book of Colossians in a series we called Rooted, and we sought to root ourselves in Christ's love, and we even memorized key verses together, and I know you all have it still memorized. We'll work on it for 2025. No, just kidding. The verses we set were Colossians 2, 6 to 7. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened." Oh, guys. Next time we study Colossians, we'll do better. "Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." So before we embarked on the summer, We also had our Celebration Sunday, in which three men from our congregation shared stories of what God is doing in their lives, and we even had a baptism, and it was a wonderful time of celebrating together. Throughout the summer, we looked at some of the most misunderstood and misused passages of Scripture and ended the summer by studying the parables of Jesus. And then from September into Advent, we have been doing something called the Narrative Lectionary, where we, through the entire year from September 2024 to June 2025, are going to travel through the entire Bible, not every story, but pieces here and there, as we follow the story of God's love, how he is molding us to be people who love God and love others. So we started in Genesis in September. We've gone through a bunch of the kings, some of the journey in the Old Testament, and now, beginning in January, we are going to look at the Gospel of Mark together. The year was a journey of learning and growing in our understanding of God's love, as well as our part in that narrative, our part in that story. How are we responding to what God has done? So in keeping with our challenge to keep our eyes on Jesus, something else that happened throughout this year is I think of how the council, we read a book together on discernment, and we've really tried to implement some different practices in our gathering together that will transform the way that we make decisions so that we're really relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us, that we really want to keep our eyes on Jesus through every decision. Also, for this year, 2024 to 2025, Olivet's Council has embarked on a new learning opportunity through the Center for Missional Leadership. Now, this is a course that we are doing that is offered an opportunity for us to engage creatively, reimagining of how our church gathers and how our church engages with our neighbors. So some of the things that we did this year in response to these conversations was the Halloween hospitality that Pastor Jocelyn led. This was an opportunity for us to engage with our neighborhood. The community was going out for Halloween, so how can we respond in love? And we also did our A Very Merry Christmas Bash, which was, again, an opportunity for people outside of our Olivet community, as well as those within, to gather together for fun and to enjoy the Christmas season together, to build some of those relationships. Throughout 2024, more life groups began. More opportunities to engage with our neighbors happened. The daycares opened in our building in July. I have personally witnessed people give their life to the Lord this year. And we have seen the fruit of carrying on this onward direction together. Part of that fruit has been the fact that we have some new people come to Olivet over the last year, especially some younger families and children. And this has been incredibly life-giving and encouraging to have that joyful noise of children in our midst. 2024 was the year of onward, carrying on in the direction that God has called us to. And from my perspective, I would suggest that I have seen God continue to do a good work in this church as we have kept our eyes on Christ and we have carried on in this direction he has called us. So as I was praying for 2025 and what the Lord was doing within our community here at the church that meets here on the brow of the hill, a word kept coming to mind that I would like to share with you, and that is the word growth. With this word, I'm not suggesting growth in numbers, but that is wonderful, and I'll take any numbers that God gives us. But more so, I am thinking of spiritual growth, growth in our relationship with God. I think of Peter's words in 2 Peter, where he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen." Or of Paul's words in a different part of Ephesians that we didn't read yet this morning, in chapter 4, and he says, he's talking about the body and how the body all works together and together in unity. He says, "Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." In this passage, Paul is saying that we each have a part to play in this body of Christ, serving with the gifts and the abilities of the way that God has made us and gifted us to be. And we will help each other as well to grow stronger and to become more mature as we live this life of faith together. But growth doesn't just happen. Back in the spring when we were looking at the book of Colossians about being rooted in Christ, I suggested that we think about the fiddle leaf fig tree. Now, how many of you have a fiddle leaf fig in your house? No, it's a temperamental. It's a very popular houseplant. It became very popular during COVID in particular. I don't exactly know why, but it just did. But the fiddle leaf fig is very popular, but it's very finicky. It doesn't grow easily indoors, even though it is marketed as such. In fact, they can often look quite sad and pitiful. My sister-in-law says, "My fiddle leaf fig doesn't love me as much as I love it," because it always just looks really sad, okay? But I have learned that if you have a very sad fiddle leaf fig tree, one thing that you can do is you can literally grab, you know, the trunk of the plant, the middle part, and you're supposed to shake it. Because shaking mimics the fiddle leaf fig's actual environment because of the wind and the different things that would come around and shake it. So if you want it to grow, you have to shake up the tree because it reminds it of its natural environment in nature. And if it's growing in a house, if it's growing in an apartment, you're not experiencing those elements. And it literally needs to be shaken up a bit so that it can grow stronger. By shaking it, the roots grow stronger and they go down deeper and they get all the nutrients. And by shaking it, the trunk of that fiddle leaf fig will grow stronger, be able to hold up all the branches and the leaves. Now, it is counterintuitive to go around aggressively shaking your houseplant. But that is exactly what the fiddle leaf fig needs to grow. Now, I would like to suggest for us for 2025, as we consider our relationship with God, it is very easy to become complacent. It is very easy to kind of keep things the same. We also have a tendency as humans to not want to, you know, do the difficult thing, we want to avoid the challenges. But it is often in those really challenging situations that true growth will happen. In the next year, as we consider how we are going to engage our neighbors, as the council continues to learn about and brainstorm a reimagining for how our church can gather, as we try new things together, there are inevitably going to be challenging times, as any kind of change or new thing can be challenging. Even good change can be challenging. And yet, we can also look at those challenges as an opportunity to grow. To grow in our dependency on the Spirit of God, to grow in our faith as God guides us and invites us to step out, to grow in our love for God and for others. When Pastor Jocelyn and I are thinking of new ideas or new things that we can do as a community, we always describe it as, you know, we never know if something's going to work. So we describe it as throwing spaghetti against a wall. If it sticks, wonderful. If it falls down, that's fine. We'll just keep cooking and finding something else that works. We also need to recognize if something that doesn't stick, it's okay. We can learn from what worked and what didn't work. The beginning of a new year is a wonderful opportunity to think about our habits, our practices individually, our practices together as a community, to think of the things that occupy our time and consider how can we grow spiritually in 2025. How can we grow in our love for God and for others? Maybe it's time to join a life group. It's time to get baptized. Is that the next step in your faith journey? Maybe it's time to learn some new worship music or to try a different prayer practice in your quiet times with the Lord. Maybe it's time for a Bible reading challenge or time to have someone over for lunch, someone that you don't know very well, and you want to get to know. Maybe it's time to sit in a different spot in church, and I'm as bad for this as anybody else. I sit in that second row, and I greet the people right behind me, but maybe it's time to sit in a different spot to meet different people in our community. Maybe it's time to serve a meal at Journey Home. They have a lot of wonderful opportunities to serve and to participate in what Journey Home is doing to care for refugees. My hope for this next year is that God will grow this church here that meets on the brow of the hill. And not necessarily by numbers, though again, those are wonderful too, but that we would grow in our relationship with God, that we would grow to be spiritually mature, to grow outside of our comfort zones as God shakes us up like the trunk of a fiddle leaf fig. 2025, growth, the process of maturing spiritually, building each other up in love as each part together does its work in unity. I join with Paul in praying these words over us as we embark on a new year, and I'm going to invite you to stand. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.